to our midweek podcast with Pastor Dinesh Mitchell. We hope this message will bless you and your family.
All right, tonight I'll be speaking about four things you should not do with your money, okay? Four things you should not do with your money. Money is an important thing. And everybody will say amen. You know, and if you didn't listen to the sermon on amen, you got to listen to the sermon on amen. But I want you to understand that there are things that you should do with your money and there are things you shouldn't do with your money. And many a times, Christians do the things that they shouldn't do with the money and then they come and complain to the Lord, "Lord, you have not blessed me. Lord, you don't take care of me." And we have seen many issues connected to money because they made some really, really, if I may say it bluntly, stupid decisions. And then they want the Lord, right there. You can write it down. Four things you shouldn't do with your money, okay? Four things you shouldn't do with your money. I want to start off with a scripture here from Luke chapter 12. We'll be, our full time will be in Luke. And all of my, just that when I read these a few versions, seemed that New Living Translation was a better translation. So all of the scripture references are from New Living Translation. Now, if you are here, put a thumbs up so that I know that you are here. Sometimes people log in and they sleep, you know. And then when they suddenly unmute, you can hear them snoring. Serious stuff. Only in Sri Lanka. So anyway, Luke chapter 12, verses number 15 says this, "Guard against every kind of greed. Life," I want you to get this fully clear, "life is not measured by how much you own." Now, if you have a Bible right now, underline that. 100% underline it. Make sure that you underline it. Okay? Guard against every kind. So there are different types of greed. Now, there is no time to do a sermon on it. Another time, I'll teach you that there are different types of greed. And Bible mentions these different types of greed. But we are not going to go there. But the next part of it says, life is not measured by how much you own. That is so important for you to get it in your mind because we live in a world that they always are being measured by their wealth, what they have. But when you are a child of God, you have a worth much more than what you own. Karasataka. You got to get that. When you are a child of God, you are going to heaven. You have possessions of heaven. You have eternal treasures. You are able to translate that which is in the realm of the spirit into the realm of the natural. Man, come on, somebody. Are you here? That is why you can't be measured by what you have. Because a Christian has much more than what you see in the natural. But the world shows their wealth by their car, by the house, by whatever gold they have, gold chain, gold necklace, diamond ring, all kinds of crazy things. You know, gold, I mean, I saw somebody from, I think one of those Middle East countries, they have so much money that their car is gold, their plane is, their private jet is gold, they have a bike that is gold, their toilets are gold. Shatakabaseke. Something about this obsession with gold. But I am here to tell you, well, we have other sermons to preach, but I am here to tell you this. I want you to get this. That you are much more than what you see. You are much more than what you see. You are much more worth than what you see. That is why it is so important for you to understand this verse. Life is not measured by how much you own. Because if you go into this mindset, my life is more worth if I own this, then you are in a rat race to own something. When you have that, you want something else. How many are getting what I'm saying? That is not enough. And that is why the cycle of marketing and all of this is like, if you have iPhone X, iPhone 11, that is not enough. You have to go to 12. When 15 comes, you got to take it 15. Then 15 normal is not enough. You got to go Ultra Pro Max. Shakata. You understand? And then you are living an Ultra Pro Max debt life. Because you got... You become pro in your debt. Don't live like that. Okay, God wants you to think very smart about money. Now, Jesus tells a story of a rich man in Luke chapter 16 who enlisted a manager to take care of his property. He got a manager and he said, you take care of my property. But the problem was that that manager was mishandling the wealth that the master gave him. Did we go offline? Or they're coming back? Okay, I'm here. Just wondering something happened. Are you here? Okay, you're here. Put a thumbs up if you're here. I know that you're here. Right? Okay. Are they not hearing me? Okay, one person. Okay, more people are. Now, there was a manager that was appointed by this person that owned so much of wealth and said, you take care of it. And he had to give an account of his stewardship in Luke chapter 16, okay? The manager but devised a plan but he was mishandling all of these things and the owner was going to fire him. And because he knew that he was going to get fired, he thought, man, I should devise a plan so that even if I lose my job, I can be taken care of. So what he did was, this is a good scripture because in another 24 hours or 48 hours, Sri Lanka will be doing debt restructuring. They are right now doing debt restructuring of the international debt restructuring. But in the next 48 hours, Sri Lanka will be doing debt restructuring of the local debt that they have taken. So look at this, okay? This scripture goes with it. So I'll just, you know, for the matter of fact, I just took it and maybe here it is good. Look at this, okay? This guy, because he was going to get fired, he called all of the fellows who have not given money back to his master. Are you here with me? If you are here, put a thumbs up, okay? I know that you are here. Now, the master owned wealth. He was given in charge. He mishandled. He got caught. Now, he was going to lose his job. When he was about to lose his job, he thinks all the fellows who have not given back to the master. And tells a guy who owns 800 gallons of olive oil, I cut your bill. You have to pay 800, but don't pay for 800. You pay for 400. So those guys agreed. So those guys agreed and whatever could not be taken, at least half was taken. So master looks at this fellow and thinks about this and looks and says this. Luke chapter 16 verses number 8. Okay, Luke chapter 16 verses number 8 says, when the master heard that what the manager had done, he had to admire. Now this is from the New Living Translation, because I'm saying this, I want you to know that this is from the Bible. He had to admire the dishonest rascal for being so shrewd. Everybody say shrewd. Okay, it is true that the children of this world are more shrewd in dealings with the world around them than are the children of the light. So Jesus is saying, if you have a Bible, you see that this is red letters because this story is told by Jesus. And Jesus himself is saying there is a problem because the children of the world know so much more than children of God. So people, that's why... many Christians have problem in becoming good stewards of money. Okay? Now, Jesus doesn't praise the dishonesty in this man, but he brings to notice the shrewdness. What does this word shrewdness mean? You can write this down. To be shrewd means to be smart, strategic, and resourceful. Smart, strategic, resourceful. You are smart, you are strategic, you are resourceful. That means you see the problem clearly and you know what needs to be done. And then you figure out how to do it. God wants us to learn how to biblically steward our money. Okay, He wants you to know how to biblically steward your money. So these four things, don't do it. Number one, don't waste your money. Don't waste your money. Okay, Luke chapter 16 verses 1 says, a report came that the manager was wasting his employer's money. Don't waste your money. Everything you have, including your money, belongs to God. And it is a gift from Him. So you have to be careful not to waste it. What do I mean by not waste? Don't buy things that you want. Only buy things what you need. I'm going to say it again. Don't buy things what you want. Only buy things what you need. In the name of faith, people buy stuff that they want. In the name of faith. And they use the name of the Lord also. By faith. Hello, by faith. You don't need it. I have a phone. I can take calls. I can do whatever I need to do. No, I need an ultra Pro Max. Not enough. What is that? It's a want than a need. And then you tell the Lord, Lord, please, please send an angel. Oh, forget about it. We don't want to talk about angels here. But I... You know, are you hearing what I'm saying? Now you're praying, God, please provide. God cannot. Not what you want, what you need. Give us today daily bread. What you need, that's so important. Focus. What you need. Don't waste your money. Many Christians waste their money. I asked one of these guys, how much is your show? 24,000. Wow, 24,000. Praise the Lord, man. 24,000. Yeah, just 3 months. This is what? Coco, whatever. Whatever plan. What do you call it? Mona plans the end? Coco, or whatever. 3 months. What? Coco, mint pay, all this. Now, my problem is this. Do you need this 24,000 shoe? Do you need it? No, it's just a want. And not one pair, three pairs. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Don't waste your money. The Lord does not bless the ones who do not steward what they have. When He sees that you are faithful with what you have, He gives you more. But when you are not faithful with what you have, but you want more for yourself, don't waste your money. Is somebody getting this? Put a thumbs up if you are getting this. Okay. Number two, don't love your money. First is don't waste it. Don't buy things just wasteful. And sometimes people buy things that they want. No, in 1 week they forget it. But that is a childish way, because you have seen children. They say, I want it. They put a tantrum and, I want it. And you buy it. 24 hours. They don't even care. It's a childish attribute that you have, a bad childish attribute. You just want to get everything you see. Am I speaking to somebody here? Are you getting what I'm saying? Number two, don't love your money. Luke chapter 16, verses number 13. New Living Translation. The Bible says, no one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. Enslaved to money. Now, please don't get me wrong. Now, I believe and know that definitely you need money, but don't be a slave to money. Many people are slave to money. Today, when people are slave, they are unable to make it even to Bible study or be here. Because why? Money and treasures will make you a slave. Slave. I'm telling you. But if you serve God, money will run after you. Are you getting this? You got to decide if God is number one in your life or is your money, if making a lot of money is number one. You can't make both top priority. One guy sent me a message, 2 o'clock in the morning. He's calling me, send me a message. Can I talk? Can't talk. Send me a message. Can I talk to you? There is a great job offer. But the thing is that I have to sacrifice my Sunday. I have to work on Sunday also. So it's a great job offer, great perks. What do you think? I said, what do you think? It does not matter what I think. Because in any time fellows ask you a question, what do you think? They have already decided. They're just playing a card. What do you think? And then when you say something, they'll do the exact opposite. Because they have decided already. After 20 years, that is the bottom line. Any fellow who comes for counseling and asks, I want to talk to you. What do you think about this? They have already decided. Or they decide and later tell you because they know if they talk to you, you'll. Are you getting this? Do not let money. And then I ask, what? I think I should not. I said, your thinking is right. Your thinking is right. Your thinking is right. But the problem is the doing. Sometimes our conviction is right. But our drive is so much that we don't want to do something else. Money should not control. Sunday is to be kept holy. Exodus chapter 20. When the Ten Commandments are given, many people now say, we are not under the law, we are under grace. But Jesus said, I did not come to abolish the law, but I came to keep it, fulfill it. So now you can't say, I am under grace, so I don't have to come on Sunday. Sabbath is holy. It is unto the Lord. Exodus chapter 20, verses number 8. Says that you should not even attend to your children. Ah, pastor. Yes. Actually, because of grace, your love should be more. Oh, no thumbs up. I don't see. Why? I'll tell you this. If you are unable to keep your Sunday to the Lord, there is some other treasure in your life, and that is an idol. I'm going to say it again. You think it is for you? Of course it is for you. Definitely it's for you. No hinting. Straight off. Hallelujah. This is what the word of God says. Not what Mitch says. Not what Apostle Woody says. This is what the Lord says. Nothing cannot hold you back. Those guys had to keep the Sabbath holy. Holy means consecrated, separated. You cannot let money determine it. Life decisions, issues. No, you got to be in the house of God. No amens. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Are you getting this? Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's why you have to know money should not drive your life. The Lord should be the head of it. He doesn't drive, He leads. The enemy drives. Money drives you and does not let you be connected to the things of God. Don't love money. Don't love money. Number three, man, I'm teaching some good things, right? Praise God. From the word of God. People want to be successful, but the problem is they don't want to follow the principles of word of God. They want to be successful like this. Pastor, can you please pray a blessing over this thing? Yes. I can bless you, but if you don't keep the principles, He is watching you. The word of God says, the eyes of the Lord move to and fro. Which means eyes of the Lord is always watching when even your pastor is not watching you. Ah, Wife or husband is not watching you. Nobody is watching you. Eyes of the Lord is watching you. He knows what you do. You can fool no anybody, but you can't fool him. His spirit is everywhere. That is why he is an omnipresent God. He's present everywhere. That was free. Number three, don't trust money. Don't trust your money. One of my relatives put 42 million, 42 million, 42 million in Zelenko. Because everybody said that is the best thing to do. 42 million. In a moment, lost everything. In a moment, lost everything. Don't trust your money. Trust God only. Trust God only. Because even when money fails you, he will never fail you nor forsake you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Never trust money. Now, if I was trusting money, I would not be here. I'll tell you that. I would not be preaching to you. Luke chapter 16, verse number 3. If you want a scripture reference, here he says, you know, he got, now what? My boss has fired me. Because all his trust was in the boss and the money. Many Christians come to church and say, Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. Boru, pacha, tom pacha. Shakata haraba. All these lies people are saying. Singing lies. Living something else. If your trust is in the Lord, ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you, your life will not be unsuccessful. Because he always will keep his word. I'm preaching to myself. Are you getting this? No matter how much money you've got, you can always lose it. If you want to be secure, stay in the center of the will of God. That is something that can be never taken from you. Okay? And there is only one thing that you can never lose, and it is the love of God. This is so much good stuff. Are you here with me? You still love me, right? Praise God. It's okay if you don't love me. I'll pray for you. You know, don't trust your money. Don't trust your money. Don't trust your money. Don't trust your money. Markets fluctuate. They are third richest man in Germany 4 years back. Second richest, third richest man. Committed suicide. In other words, let me tell you. Point number four. Money, don't expect money to satisfy. Many people think more money, more satisfaction. Lies from the pits of hell. And they are driving themselves. More money, more money. One job is not enough. Two jobs. Two jobs is enough. Three jobs. Some fellows left, you know, I was talking to the NDB bank manager here in Navala. And he was saying there was an assistant manager that was there. When all these crazy things were happening, he thought the best thing is go to Canada and he'll get a job. 6 months he did not have a job, and now what is he doing? Cleaning toilets. Cleaning toilets, ladies and gentlemen. Cleaning toilets. Assistant manager at Navan Mavata. Cleaning toilets. Because they thought, I'm losing money. I'll somehow get money there. Let me conclude by saying this. The richest man on planet Earth who ever lived, and the second wisest man who ever lived, because it's after Jesus. He is wisdom of everything. He is wisdom of all wisdom. King Solomon says this. After everything that he had in his house was gold. Everything. in the house of God, everything crazy. They did not even bring silver for anything because silver was worthless. That is the riches. The fellow got shipped from Sri Lanka to take cinnamon from Sri Lanka and precious stones from cinnamon. Cinnamon and precious stone from Sri Lanka was taken to the palace of Solomon. Sri Lanka also is mentioned in the Bible, by the way. Another time to discuss that. Ecclesiastic chapter 5, verses number 10. Write it down. Those who love money will never have enough. How meaningless to think that wealth brings true happiness. Two things to take from him. First thing is, definitely know that this man who had all the wealth, Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses number 10, everything he's saying, never think wealth brings true riches. And the other thing he wrote, after 600 wives and 300 concubines, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. He knew that, please, men, only marry one woman. Because after all the wisdom, I screwed my whole life. Did you get that? That's a side note for anybody who's not married. Okay? That's why Jesus says, when you think money will make you happier, secure, valuable, it is seriously misguided. If the richest man who ever lived says these words, and then Jesus comes and says, the wisest person ever to say this, guard against every kind of grief. Life is not measured by what you own. Four things that you need to guard against and you should not do. Don't waste money. Don't love money. Don't trust money. And don't expect money to satisfy. If you run after money, you will never be able to run after God. But if you run after God and have right principles to manage your money and steward your money, everything else will come after you. Do you know that everything good in life is hard and needs to be worked at? Everything bad comes easy. Now, I'm teaching some good things, but these things don't come easy. It's hard. One wife was very angry with the husband, but she never showed it. So he was wondering, I am always mad, and when I'm mad, I'm always manifesting, shouting and all that. My wife is very calm. So ask the wife, how come that you are so calm? When I am angry, I show it. How come you're... She said, when I'm angry, I clean the washroom. I clean the, what do you call it? Commode. And you get better? She said, yes. Because I clean the commode with your toothbrush. Everything good comes at a price. And now I'm not telling you to take, I'm not giving tips for people how to manage your anger. But I'm here to tell you, nothing good comes easy. If you want to lose weight, you got to exercise. You got to eat healthy. Doesn't come easy. So I want you to know, when you're mad and you want to say something really bad and you have to zip it, it's really hard. Anything good does not come easy. So don't think, because God is good, I'll have everything good. There are things you got to work at. And you got to do your part so that he can do his part. Don't do these four things. Don't waste, don't love, don't trust, and ultimately don't think money will satisfy. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus right now. I pray that this will not just be words, but it will become habits, which means something that they really need to work at. Help them to self-discipline themselves, help them to have discernment, and help them to be better so that they will be good stewards. And your word says that when we are good stewards, blessing will always follow the people who are good stewards. Those who are faithful in the little, you will make them faithful in much. Help us to be faithful in whatever little we have, especially when it comes to money. knowing that no matter what happens in the world, when we are connected to the principles of the kingdom of heaven, we will have the benefits and the riches of the kingdom of heaven, even though we do not have things that is attached to this nation. But as we practice these principles, we will see faith at work. So we bless your people. I pray and break off compulsion in buying things. I break that habit of compulsion. I break every slavery of money that have controlled their agenda, time. I break the control that money has gained over them by having trust in money more than God. And I pray that inner craving that has come down generations and that is surrounded to go for more, 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 that will be broken, knowing that we are deeply satisfied only in your presence and by your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.
That's a wrap on today's Divine Breakthrough. Remember, every challenge is just a setup for your next miracle. See you soon in the next episode.